This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 1. I cannot say where we left off last time, because last time we finished the great, exciting, prophetic book of Judges. New book today, Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 1. Before we begin, I want to remind all of you that every Thursday from 12 noon until 2 p.m., my twin friend Scott Merson meets me here, and we are here to pray for you. Just walk right in or call on the telephone from anywhere in the world. I actually answer the telephone live then. Also come each Sunday, 5 p.m. for this wonderful word and prayer, and Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. for the wonderful word and prayer. Now, excuse me. God dictated the book of Ephesians to the Apostle Paul in about 62 A.D., which was about 30 years after Jesus was crucified and after Jesus arose from the dead. Some of the ancient manuscripts do not entitle this. They have the writing, but they don't entitle it Ephesians. But we know in 1 Corinthians 15, around about verse 32, that Paul was at Ephesus, and he said he wrestled with wild beasts. We also know that there was a church at Ephesus from Revelation chapter 1. John wrote about that. Now, Ephesians means permitted. Many people find the book of Ephesians, especially the first three chapters, very difficult to understand. It's only difficult to understand because you've not been taught that there was an earth age before this one. So Paul is going to teach us this today so that there will be no puzzle in the picture of God. I am entitling this, The Mystery of the Election. The mystery of the election. All throughout God's word, you hear the word elect. Paul writes it over and over. Peter does. James does. John in his epistles to the elect lady. And in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word zadok means elect. And when I have a day of repentance, which I've had two, and I'm going to have another one pretty soon when God tells me, I always say elect connect. So we're going to learn the mystery of the election. Let's begin. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. And Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. All right. An apostle in the Greek means a sent one. Perhaps you remember your mother sent you to the store to buy a loaf of bread. You were assigned, go to the store and buy a loaf of bread. Not candy, not a pop, but a loaf of bread. So anyone who is an apostle is sent from God, and it says by the will of God. Now you need to know that before Paul got converted, he loved the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he was a Hebrew scholar. He had studied Hebrew with Gamaliel, the best teacher. But he thought this young upstart Jesus was trying to take away the pure religion and covenant between Abraham. So he began to persecute and arrest the Christians. As a matter of fact, Paul was on his road to Damascus with papers in his pocket to arrest the Christians. He loved God. He thought Jesus was messing up the true God's plan. He did love the true God. He just didn't know that Jesus was the Messiah. And Jesus met Paul on the road to Damascus. Actually, his name was Saul then, and knocked Paul off his horse, spiritually speaking and literally, and Paul became blind then. Did you know that he was mostly blind the rest of his life? There's something about seeing the light of truth in our heavenly kingdom that causes the things of this world to grow strangely dim. So from then on in, God used Paul, and Paul did God's will. You can see from this, we know he's going to be an elect, is an elect. We can see that even an elect, while seeking God, may not be in the right position as a child, but somewhere along life's way, God's going to put a light bearer before you to show you the truth. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
To the saints which are at Ephesus.
Now, the saints means the set aside one, so that would be the very elect. Remember, we haven't explained that yet, the mystery of the election, but they are at Ephesus.
And to the faithful in Christ Jesus.
To all Christians everywhere, anytime.
Verse 2, grace be to you.
Grace means unmerited favor, God's love.
And peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Now, Paul starts out saying, all right, you elect, you are blessed with spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Later on in this same book, Paul would say, we are seated with Christ in heaven. Now, you are, most of you listening to me, are probably a citizen of the United States of America. And as a citizen of the United States of America, you have the benefits of being in America. Freedom of speech, freedom to worship, free to go to another state if you want to without, you know, checking in, and all these wonderful freedoms to vote. You get the benefits. But once you got saved, Christian, you became a citizen of heaven. You are a citizen of the kingdom of God. Jesus says the kingdom is at hand. What is a kingdom? It's a king and his dominion. Is Jesus the king of your heart? Yes. Are you in his dominion? Yes. So you see right now, yes, physically we're citizens of the United States of America. We love our country. We're good citizens. But you are right now a citizen of the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom is at hand. Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. But most Christians walk around as though you're not a citizen of the kingdom. That's why I see you in your little clay pots punching your cell phone. Your cell phone says, call this person, go there. This is hurting. This is bad. This job. And you listen to your cell phone walking around in your little clay pot. And you don't even know the benefits, and you're in the kingdom. Well, let's talk about those heavenly blessings. First of all, Paul will say in this same book, we are washed with water by the word of God. In the kingdom of heaven, available right now, is this beautiful stream, a shower to keep us clean of the word of God. It's not a book, and it's not something you say and memorize. It's live, it's vital, it's cleansing, it's life, it's Jesus flowing in you, and you swim in it, and it cleanses you. And then you're in the kingdom of heaven, you have this access all the time. So you're clean. You've been washed with water. And then what do you put on after you take a shower? Some clothes. Isaiah 61. Then you wear in this kingdom the garment of praise. Praise to the Lord. Praise him in the good times. Praise him in the bad times. Hallelujah. Anyway. And so you have that. And then you realize that you are not walking alone in this kingdom. And you don't have to be the little clay pot looking down and let yourself phone be your God, because you're surrounded by so great a crowd of witnesses. Saints that have gone on before are cheering you on and say, yes, you can make it. And they're in every corner, they're peeping in the window, and they're everywhere. And then right to your access, available to any saint, is 1 Corinthians 12, the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of the word of knowledge, the gift of the word of wisdom, the gift of faith, the gift of discernment of spirits, the gift of prophecy, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation of tongues. Now, later on in this very teaching today, you're going to hear some more heavenly blessings, but is that enough to whet your appetite?
Yeah.
Okay, let's move along.
Verse 4, according as he has chosen us to him.
Wait just a minute. God chooses someone, has chosen. Chosen in the Greek means to appoint. to select, to elect, to choose, to give a mandate. Select, elect, give a mandate, choose, appoint. Well, why would God take some people and choose them and appoint them to assign them? Let's find out.
Before the foundation of the world.
Oh, he didn't do it while you were in your flesh body here. Before the foundation. Foundation, Greek word, write it down. Katabol, Greek katabol. Satan's overthrow, world age. First earth age, Greek Aeon age. You say there was an age before this? Yes, same planet, a different dispensation of time. 2 Peter 3:6-8 speaks of the first earth age. That was when Satan rebelled. The second earth age, this is when we're here in a flesh body. We're going to have to explain that. And the third heaven and earth age, which will be when all sin is gone and God rejuvenates the earth. Now, if God chose you before Satan rebelled, and Satan rebelled in the world that then was, the first earth age, 2 Peter 3:6. Satan is Lucifer and said, I will be God. Then that means you were there, right? Now I want to say to everybody, reincarnation is a lie. No reincarnation. You're in a spiritual body. Documentation, Ecclesiastes 12:6-7. When you die, if the silver cord breaks, your spirit returns to God who gave it. We were all there, eons and eons of time. And beautiful Lucifer, we now know him as the dragon, the serpent, the devil, and the soon coming Antichrist. He was good, and he sat on the mercy seat, and he was beautiful and talented and wise and a great musician. And we were all there like sparkling jewels. We were all created at the same time in our spiritual body. There was no sin. There was no death. There was no sickness. We were all one with God. Shall we say spiritually wed, like the wife of God. Don't think man and woman and sex and all of that. Understand? But one day Satan rebelled. Isaiah 14 said, I will be God. And he deceived one-third of God's children. Revelation 12. He's called the dragon there. And they followed him. So they left God. And then they married or followed Lucifer. Betrayal. But there was also a third that gets a one dishonorable mention in the Bible. There was a lukewarm group that didn't even follow Satan or get up and fight. They just said, I'm just going to sit here and watch this. I'm not going to get involved in this. I'm going to stare at this. I'm cold-hearted. I'm not, just don't mess with me. I'm just looking. Lukewarm. God says that's the worst of all. I'd rather you fought for Satan or fought for me. So most of God's children in the spirit realm, body, betrayed him and went after beautiful Satan. He is beautiful. But there was one group who stood up for God and fought tooth and nail against the dragon and his angels with Archangel Michael. And that's when this group was chosen. You see, that was high treason in heaven. It was sin. First time there was sin. Betrayal. And you know, it used to be in America that when the government people betrayed us, something happened to them, they died. We don't do that much anymore. We just let them betray them and elect them again. But anyway, I will digress. Okay. And so there was. So this was high treason. But God loved his children, wanted to give them a second chance. So he said, let us make man in our image. Man, human. Let's make a flesh body. There had never been any flesh. And God says, I'm going to destroy the first earth age. Let us make man in our image. You notice he said our? To whom is he speaking? He is talking to you and to himself. Image doesn't mean what you looked like. It means let us make you a flesh body. I'm going to send you through your mother's womb with the same character you've got now. In other words, if you've got a betrayer's heart in you, that little baby, wah, 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 betrayer's heart. If you're lukewarm and cold-hearted and don't care anybody about yourself, wah, 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 me, 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 me. But elect, If you're hot for God and you stand up for the right, you're going to have that same passion, and it's going to be in your DNA to turn to God. So this was God's plan. And God said, I won't ask you to do anything I won't do myself. So he said, I'll make myself a body, and I'll create the second earth age, and I'll call myself Jesus, and I will go and pay the sin debt. Because see, even if you come in here and are sorry, that sin's got to be erased. So Jesus paid the sin debt with his blood. Why the blood? Because the life is in the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Do you understand now? The elect were chosen then. There was a judgment. Now, let me finish this verse.
That we should be holy and without blame before him.
We're going to find in just a few minutes that there was a judgment there, and everybody was found guilty except that group of elect. So now we're going to take a field trip and go to Romans chapter 8. If you can find it quickly, great. This is so important that you understand there is a difference between the elect and whosoever will. God loves all of his children, but of course he would choose someone he could trust. Would you send someone to represent you who's going to lie about you or stab you in the back or take your pearls and hit you with them? Of course you would not. So we're going to go to Romans 8 to find out some more information. Of course, the Apostle Paul wrote Romans 26.
In love. Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought.
Now, Paul is talking to the elect here. He's about to get into that judgment. It says that things sometimes that happen, we don't know how to pray about them. How about the hurricane? How about the government? How about your personal experiences? So what do we do?
But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
Now, those of you on radio and internet, before I was on the air, I was leading and praying, and the Holy Spirit did this through me. I was praising him, and he just wanted another level of praise, so he sighed through me. So, here's what. This is another spiritual blessing in the kingdom. Are you saved? You're in the kingdom. Remember, you're a citizen of the kingdom of God, kingdom on earth. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. This is one of the greatest spiritual blessings you can ever have. There are things you don't know how to pray. So one of the benefits of walking in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, heaven on earth, as an elect, is that you can just empty yourself and the Holy Spirit will pray through you. It may be in English and people will hear you and think it's you, but it's the Holy Spirit. I do it all the time. Anyone knows prayer meetings, I do it all the time. And see, Holy Spirit is God, so you know he's going to answer his prayer. When you think about all the churches in the United States of America that meet all the time for prayer meetings, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturday, all day, Sunday, prayer, wouldn't you think that we would have been able to have prayed and prevented this massacre that we've just had with this man killing 58 people? Okay, so what's wrong? We call it prayer, and we get together, and we mean it with all our heart, and we say, Father, in Jesus' name, and we say the best words. We're very, very, very sincere. It's from our heart. Sometimes we say what the preacher says. We say what the word says. But see, there's a level. You're in the kingdom. One of the spiritual blessings is that it is not I, the Father within, he doeth the work. The Holy Spirit prays through you. And every time I've ever had a partner that'll let that work happen with them and me to pray together, God answers the prayer. But that's why our prayers are hindered. We mean well. But you're in the kingdom now. It's for your access. So see, prayer is not to impress anyone or to call out anything. Just if you would be sincere about this, you might start now and say, it would be better. I wouldn't think it's silly until you can let him come through. Oh, hallelujah. What a power we have. Now, that's a spiritual blessing. Paul's talking about those spiritual blessings of verse 3 in heavenly places, in the kingdom, right now, available to every one of you who names the name of Jesus.
Amen.
27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit.
See, the Holy Spirit knows how to pray about these things. Many times a person will say, pray about this, and I'll be trying to because I love the person, but I see the Holy Spirit's nudging me somewhere else, so just obey.
Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
And you better believe that God looks out for his elect. He protects his elect, and he knows how to pray for his elect.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose.
Romans 8:28, one of the most beloved verses in the Bible. Paul is talking to the very elect, those who were chosen before the foundation of the world, selected a sign. In other words, just like Paul, sometimes he was a grown man before he realized he was. He knew he loved God. And so what it means here, for the, everybody else who betrayed God, you come in, the purpose was for you to get another chance. God gave you a second chance. And he's going to send an elect to you somewhere along the way to tell you of Jesus and what he did and get you saved. But you have free choice. God's not going to make you, since you betrayed him there, he's not going to make you love him. But the elect do not have free choice. Remember, a sign, a mandate. We were sent to the store to buy a loaf of bread, and that's it, okay? And so here we are, sent ones. That does not mean that the elect don't think for themselves or make mistakes. What he's saying here is that for the elect, Satan is going to try to trip up that purpose that God sent you for. He's going to send all of hell against you, every demon there is, every evil person there is, every circumstance, every hurricane, every drug gang to wipe you out and steal your money, take your joy, take your love, take your family, take your health. But God says at a point when he sees that it looks hopeless for you, God will step in and intervene in the elect's life because you're sent and you're called and chosen and you're going to step into your destiny and you're going to complete the destiny. Hallelujah. Yeah. So no matter how bad it was, God turns it for good. As Joseph said about his brothers who sold him in slavery, remember that in Genesis? He said, the enemy meant it for evil, but God turns it for good. So elect, take heart. Just get right up, dust yourself off, and keep on moving in your destiny.
29, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate.
There it is. See, not everybody's predestinated. Predestinate means choose, appoint, assign. That's the very elect. That's it. That small group. There's not many of them. There's only about 7,000 here, Romans 11, at this time. That's not a literal number. And so, foreknew is a marriage term. See, in essence, we kind of think this is a wedding. We were all one with God, but don't think the physical. It's that beautiful marriage of the heart and the spirit. But everybody else betrayed and committed adultery, idolatry, and followed Satan. But that group stayed married. Our names remained in the Lamb's Book of Life. So it says he did predestinate them. So it's not everybody. Most everybody has free will.
To be conformed to the image of his son.
Oh, okay. I love this. Image means. So every elect one, the purpose and destiny, of course, is to get God's word out, to publish the word of God and get this message of truth out. Basically, you're supposed to be a beacon of truth, of light in this world. But he is taking you to conform your character, like the character of Jesus. Image means the character of Jesus. Well, what is the character of Jesus? Let's see. Jesus lays hands on the sick and they recover. You have that access. You're in the kingdom. You're the elect. Jesus cast out demons. Ah, you're in the kingdom. You can do that. Jesus raises the dead. Ah, you're in the kingdom. You can do that. Jesus can walk on water supernaturally. I do it all the time. And in other words, it's amazing what you can do. In other words, his character is overcoming the world and overcoming the devils and demons and things. So you're being conformed to that. So see, so many of you are still running around in your little flesh pot, punching your cell phone, and you don't even know you live in the kingdom, and it never occurred to you that you might be a vessel through whom God would heal someone or raise the dead or cast out a demon. Well, are you in the kingdom or not?
That he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
Now the very elect, later on we're going to find this, not today, but in Ephesians, that the elect are called the firstfruits. Why are they called the firstfruits? Because the elect in the world that then was, in our spiritual body, were the first ones to stand up and fight for God. Firstfruits.
Verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified.
Now that word justified, he had a judgment there, and everybody was found not guilty, but the elect were found not guilty, no sin.
And whom he justified, them he also glorified.
So that very election, what he did then, not guilty, then he glorified the elect. What does that mean? It means he poured out his Holy Spirit anointing on the elect. This is a special characteristic of a boy, a girl, a man, a woman who is elect. The anointing flows in you. And sometimes it happens early in life. I've noticed with Max, our young man here, we watch it develop there. So see, Max, that happened then, and he had it then. It's a time for it to develop. I never really asked for it. It just started happening to me, and my hands would go up, and I would feel the power, and then prayers would be answered, and things would happen. In other words, he anointed us then. Anointing means he paints himself on you, because see, it is the anointing that destroys the yoke. It is the anointing that speaks the truth. It is the anointing that raises the dead. It is the anointing that gets people convicted of their sins to be saved.
31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
Well, listen there, elect. In other words, the devil's trying to beat you up, and this one's happening, and that one's happening, and you're falling off a cliff, holding on to a shoestring, and the alligator's got your foot in his mouth. Who in the world's going to bother you? God's sent you on assignment, and as long as you're yielded and trying, do the best you can with what you have, where you are for Jesus' sake today, and you're yielded, he's going to see that you fulfill that destiny. Touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. The Bible says, Jesus says, it were better for you that a millstone were hung about your neck and you drown the depths of the sea than to hurt one of my little ones. God protects his elect. In other words, what's your problem? God is for you, and God is one is a majority. And there we have the election. Did you like that?
Yes.
Now we return to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5.
Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ.
I have always had something happen in my school that's so beautiful. I've had many, many programs, musical programs, worship services, prayer services, Bible services, every kind of thing. And always after every program, after everybody left, there would always be a few people who love God and come around, and I say, let us pray. You won't have, I believe we initiate everything with prayer, and then we end it with prayer. And so sometimes somebody I've never met before will come into that little prayer group, and I'll welcome them, and I will listen, and I'll hear the Spirit start stirring up in them, and I said, whoa, that's anointed. And so when they finish, I'll say, you're adopted. You belong. Yay, we welcome. You're our family. And so that's what God says, oh, my elect, you're my family. You didn't go away from me. You stayed true.
To himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
You know, God's name is I Am, I am that I am. He was, he is, he always will be. So I am is present, right? So the Ketubah, when Satan rebelled and all betrayed him, and the little group that did not betray him, is still very real to him. So every time our Father looks at one of his elect, his heart is warmed and he smiles, and sometimes you just touch your head because it gave him such joy that you stood up for God to fight that formidable foe, Lucifer, and all of his angels. Oh, how it makes his heart glad. And he says he saves the first for the last. He sent out a small remnant in every generation, Paul being one, all these characters in the Bible, the very end here, the very elect, the ones that got up first, the most loyal, right here at the end, to face Antichrist again. He could trust you then, and he's trusting you now. And it warms our Father's heart every time he sees an elect, because he remembers that you did not betray him. You stood up and took up for him. Don't we love people who cover our backs?
Yes. Six, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved.
All right, you are in the kingdom of God. Well, that means that God is on his throne, right in our kingdom, right here, right? Accepted in the beloved. So what's another one of your benefits? As a citizen of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven right now, you may cleanse yourself, wash yourself with water by the word of God. That'll be in Ephesians. You may put on the garment of praise so you look nice. And you may walk in where the Almighty God and Jesus sit on the throne. And he will hold out his scepter and accept you and say, come, my son, come, my daughter. You're welcome. You're accepted in the beloved. Amen. We'll stop right there for this time. We'll begin right there next time, the mystery of the election. I hope you were blessed. But it's time now for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I want to welcome the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, anointed man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing good, Miss Sherry. That was great teaching. Awesome.
Thank you.
Awesome,
it's Scott.
Word tonight.
Awesome.
I have our first question. Did I hear you say the book of Psalms is divided into five books?
Yes, the book of Psalms is divided up into, the Hebrew word is Pentateuch, which means the first five books of the Bible. There's sections that are Genesis, then Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. God says everything twice. The book of Psalms covers everything, all of God's plan.
In the next one, is the sanctuary a literal building?
Okay, the book of Leviticus, and that's the one we're now in Wednesday night, means sanctuary. Level number one, it would be a building, a church, a synagogue, a temple, but the deeper meaning, Paul teaches on three levels, would be the actual Lord Jesus himself. He is the living word. In Revelation 21, it says, in the future heaven on earth, we don't need a temple. Jesus is the light thereof. So basically, the sanctuary is inside that living word that's just washing you and saturating, marinating you all the time. Jesus himself.
Yeah, amen. We abide in him and he abides in us.
Yes, like the vine.
Our next question, could a person be the sanctuary?
A person could be the sanctuary. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, you are the temple of the living God. Now you know that you're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, and you're a citizen right here on earth. The kingdom is at hand. Jesus says the kingdom is at hand. Is Jesus your king? Are you in his dominion? Okay. Since that is the case, then of course you become a sanctuary because you live in the kingdom. You're so saturated with the word of God and all these wonderful benefits that you transmit the kingdom of God to everybody you meet. Everybody's a transmitter. Don't you know people that they gloomy and always miserable and you say, oh Lord, here they come. But if you live in the kingdom and you're transmitting the kingdom, love and joy and peace and hope and faith, oh hallelujah, and all the good things of the Spirit of God and the joy of the Lord, I mean, you are, people run to you. The world doesn't know what to do. They need you. So yes, you're a temple of the living God. Well, David left his stuff in the cart and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. So it's time now for Scott's stuff.
And this is to remind us that we walk covered in the blood of Jesus Christ in victory. Psalms 94. Can unjust leaders claim that God is on their side? Leaders who decrease justice permit injustice? They gang up against the righteous and condemn the innocent to death. But the Lord is the mighty rock where I hide. God will turn the sins of evil people back on them. He will destroy them for their sins.
Praise God for that. Psalm Amen. 37 yeah. tells us that the wicked don't get away with it.
They
That's
don't.
Beautiful.
Although we see it, they don't.
We need to hear that because it's getting so bad. That's right. Thank you very much, Scott Mercer. That is beautiful. If I'm going to pray for those of you who are sick, but let me first pray for those of you who are lost. I want you to come into the kingdom of Jesus Christ today. Pray this and mean it, please. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
Use me.
Use me.
To increase the kingdom.
To increase the kingdom.
Of Jesus Christ.
Of Jesus Christ.
Right here on earth.
Right here on earth.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. In a few minutes, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. Yes, my phone's working now. And feel free to call and tell me if you were saved. Excuse me. Now let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask now, please, by your Holy Spirit, Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. There are so many of you with lower back pains. Almost every American of any little bit of age suffers that. So we just speak in Jesus' name. Let the healing virtue of Jesus flow down the vertebrae from the brain stem on down, vertebrae after vertebrae in Jesus' name. Let the heat of the Lord Jesus Christ fire touch each one of those and right on down to the lower back, and let the vertebrae be put perfect in alignment there without any pain, and from the right side and the left side, all of that pain gone down into the pelvis area and the right hip and the left hip, and right on down into the thighs and knees and legs and toes. The pain be gone in the name and the power of Jesus. Arthritis be gone. Bones be made strong. He makes your bones strong in Jesus' mighty name. Hearts and lungs be healed in the name of Jesus. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes you are healed. Oh, thank you, Father. We give you glory. Now see, that's some kingdom benefits that we have to pray for people, and God still heals. If you were healed, feel free to call when my announcer gives you my telephone number, and let me know that also. Well, it's time now for your love line of the week, from God's heart to my heart to your heart. It's your verse to memorize this week, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. You can see I've had to eat that one a lot. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, don't forget Thursdays, 12 noon to 2 p.m., Sundays, 5 p.m., Wednesdays, 6:30 p.m. Remember this about Yeshua Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. In John 17:17, Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." Now, remember, nothing's given to you to keep, so make sure you go and tell others. Invite people to Trumpet of Truth and get them on the internet, WMIEFM.com, on demand. Until next time, this is Sherry Medlock and my twin friend Scott Merson saying we love you, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make His face to shine upon you. And until next time, go and blow the trumpet of truth.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
So much. Does anybody live? Well, today I found myself after searching all these years, and the man that I saw, he wasn't at all who I thought he'd be. Well, I was lost when you found me here, and I was broken beyond repair, and then you came along and you sang your song over me.
Don't have a chance. Yeah, we've already won. And no, you shout loud, loud until the walls come down. 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 Shout loud, loud. Cause we've already won and you don't have a chance. Yeah, we've already won and no, you don't have a chance. Yeah, it's already done and you don't have a chance. Because we've already won. Yeah, we have already won. We have already won.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, Titusville, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM
102.3. Holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you want from me. Faithfulness, faithfulness is what I long for. Faithfulness is what I need. Faithfulness, faithfulness is what you want from me. Take my heart and form. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it to yours, oh Lord. Righteousness, righteousness is what I long for. Righteousness is what I need. Righteousness, righteousness is what you want from me. Take my lost without you, cold without your love. It's taken days and nights to make me realize. Rescue me from hanging on this line. I'll find you. With-